Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. I am jumping out of my skin, excited to share with you a super inspiring love story of a former client and now friend, Tara, who is an attorney who is from Chicago. And Tara, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bella. I'm so excited to tell my story in this context. I've never been on a podcast. This is exciting.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. And you're so beautiful and articulate and in love. So I couldn't be more delighted to reconnect with you. So set the stage here. You know, you're a badass, successful professional, and kind of tell us where you were before you came to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a different story in the sense that I kind of grew up in a very traditional household and ended up with an arranged marriage. My sister had one. My parents had one. So I also had one. And that was in 2008. And it didn't work out. You know,
were you excited about it? Were you excited about an arranged marriage? Or how did you feel in your body?
I don't think I participated in the process in the right manner to actually make it effective. You know, my sister's marriage is 30 years old. My parents have been married like 50 plus years. Arranged marriages can work. I just didn't have the mindset for it. You know, I was very career oriented, still am actually, but then even more so, and was kind of like, okay, I'll just get married and try this. And it was like with the wrong mindset. I went in with the wrong mindset. And with all due respect for my partner at that time, it just didn't work out. And things like that happen. But I didn't date. I hadn't dated. And I was, you know, 30 when I got married. And when I actually kind of woke up from that situation, I actually got cancer. I ended up with tongue cancer in 2012, which is an unusual form of cancer. But I don't smoke and I barely drink. So it was a little bit of an unusual thing, kind of a shock to the system.
Of course.
And after I did that, I kind of had like this epiphany, like, hey, maybe I should try dating. So from after the cancer treatment on, I went on what I would call like about 45 first dates.
Okay.
And I had a relationship with a nice man. He was a nice man. And we had fun. We went to like, you know, Lollapalooza, and we did all this kind of stuff. But, you know, he started losing interest and I didn't get the signs. I really was like kind of clueless about the whole process. And I went into it and then it didn't work out. You know, relationships don't work out. You kind of have to move on. But I was struggling with the idea of dating and not understanding signals, you know. And that's when at that time, this was around January of 2016, a friend of mine, whom I think I met at Eve of the Eve, which is a party at Union Station.
Love that.
It's like a really fancy party. And she and I went to it, and she's, you know, I was kind of telling her about my dating woes and she was telling me about hers. And then she was like, you may want to consider contacting my friend, Bella Gandhi. And I was like, okay, she's got a cool name. Like, I've never heard Bella and like Gandhi put together. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot.
Why not?
Why not? So I think I emailed you maybe in January of 2016, and you had an initial phone call interview kind of meeting. And then you connected me with an in-person meeting with Lindsay. And Lindsay is like a rock star. So she came in, and honestly, what compelled me to the Smart Dating Academy was Bella, your story about how you had found love and how, you know, how you wanted to spread that love to others. You know, that seemed like such a magnanimous gesture, even if it was like your job. I think you had like a calling, some sort of, you know, and maybe like my own calling to become an attorney. It resonated to me. Like it resonated that someone was doing this, not only, you know, as her job, but like as a passion, like as something that she wanted to do. And then Lindsay had that same equivalent passion. And, you know, she gave me like a packet of materials. It was like a hard copy. I might have it somewhere. I don't know. I'm moving right now. So I'm sure it's in some weird packet. In my file cabinet because I kept records of every person I dated and did all kinds of crazy stuff like that. But Lindsay actually sat down with me and went through what my past was. Yeah. And how the dating situation was and talked about this relationship that I had previously had. And she gave me a clue that maybe I wasn't really good at recognizing signs, you know, like people that were supposed to, like if they contact you only once a week, maybe they're not interested or they're contacting 7 to 8 other people. And at that time I was on every app in the world. Right, Bella? Like at that time, there was like Tinder, you know, Match, OkCupid, the Bumble had come out, Hinge, Plenty of Fish, like Coffee Meets Bagel, like literally everyone. And they were all like, some of them were on Shark Tank, you know, trying to like hawk their services. And you know, the kind of you're doing this dating thing, you're swiping right, you're swiping left, you're trying to figure it out. And ultimately, what I found most helpful was kind of like, here are some like tips on what you should recognize as bad responses. Lindsay would actually go through some like ideas of what are bad responses. And then I was like, oh, my God, I've been like responding to these terrible people.
You're like, and I just didn't know. And this is the thing, Tara, to your point, you grew up in a conservative family. There are other people that grow up in liberal families. But at the end of the day, who is taught how to date? Nobody is taught how to do this at any age. And you were smart enough to listen to our common friend Benita's advice to come in, and you were proactive and you wanted to learn how to do this and learn a process. And so when you came in, Lindsay started to teach you the process. And I know because I've heard this so many times, it's like a light bulb goes on, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was a red flag. Or maybe I'm red flagging myself by saying these things, right?
And yeah, like some of the things, you know, kind of like what was interesting is Lindsay also went through like, hey, how are you responding to these people? And, you know, am I showing a kind of this coldness or am I ghosting people? And kind of thinking through that process was super helpful. And I think I am generally a proactive person, but I didn't think I needed in the dating scene. You know, I was like, hey, you know, you contact your doctor when you need help. You contact your like dentist when you have a toothache. It didn't even occur to me that I needed to talk to like a relationship consultant, you know? And I think it was a light bulb. Like it was kind of like, you know, Thomas Edison was so excited when, you know, I decided to contact Smart Dating Academy. But ultimately, you know, what happened after the fact, and it still took time, you know, I've been married for 5 years, but to meet my husband after I started with Smart Dating Academy, it took about a year and a half, you know, yep. And I was working with you guys and I don't even recall what I paid. It was a long time ago. So hopefully you get paid more.
Best investment you ever made, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, for sure. But ultimately when I met Paris and I met him on an Indian app called Dilmil. And Dilmil is like sort of for Indians, but there's other people on it, you know, people that are just into Indian ladies or what, or Indian men. I don't, but I clicked on his profile and, you know, I joke around with him that he kind of fooled me because he was wearing like he was wearing a really nice tux in one picture with a pink tie. And then he had another picture where he was laughing with his nieces, and another picture where he had his work, you know, work profile or whatever. And so I thought he was going to be a really funny guy. So like, I was like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be hilarious. Let's do this. And I thought it was cute. I thought it was cute. Not a conventional cute person. Like most people would be like, he's not like an Adonis, but he was cute to me. Like cute I thought he was you. Cute.
That's
yeah,
the key.
Cute to me. And he's bald like that. That's my thing. I think I like bald men, but anyway, so I clicked on his link. I swiped right on Horace, and that was August 31st, 2017.
Yay.
So a long time ago. And then he had also swiped right on me, and somehow like during Labor Day weekend, we had our initial like text conversations on the app. And Paris was like, what did you do? And it was kind of a boring conversation, right? You're like, what did you do this weekend? And what are you doing? What are you doing this weekend? And we are very, very different people. Like my answer was I did 35 things. I went on a boat ride and then I did a picnic and then I went and met my parents and then I had dinner at their house and then I went to a concert. You know, it was summer. It was, you know, 2016, I was like a single lady, 37, 38 years old, you know, like just doing my thing, you know, 39, whatever. And ultimately what happened was I met Horace by the app and this boring conversation started, like this back and forth texting. But what was different about him in comparison to the other men that I had met through these other websites or, you know, apps and whatever, was he paid attention. He actually concentrated on me. He asked me questions. We weeded out like these things that, you know, are normally no-nos. You don't like talk politics. You don't talk, you know, yeah, for the most part, you don't talk about politics, but like this was post like the Trump election. And like, you know, I had to weed out like, hey, you know, is this going to be a problem?
Right.
And stuff like that. You know, we discussed whether we wanted children. We talked a lot, and then we ultimately met. And this is kind of it's a little bit of a crazy story, but I gotta tell it,
girl.
Yeah. So he was in India. He was like doing the last rites for his father, who had passed away in 2015, and he went in 2017 to do it. He couldn't do it before that. And I was in Hawaii, and we were texting and talking all the time. And then I got back from the trip, and I was like, you know, this is really strange. I've talked to this man for like 2 months. When are we going to physically meet? You know, he's not making a move and I don't understand what's going on. So I went to, with the same friend, Benita, we went to like this, Hawaiian luau party that a friend of ours was like hosting. So we go to this party and there's like this fortune teller. Okay, the psychic. And I go to the psychic and I say, you know what? I've been talking to this guy for like 3 months or 2 months and he's not making a move. And he's like, I thought you were an attorney. Why don't you make the move? And I was like, oh.
Oh, okay. Like,
okay. You know, he really made a point and I felt like a dumbo, but you know, this is what it is. Like getting to the step of Paris itself was like a Smart Dating Academy achievement. Getting to the next step had to be my achievement, and I forgot. And so I called Paris up. He had just gotten back from his trip from India, and I was like, hey, what are you doing December 7th? And he's like, oh, I have nothing planned. I'm like, okay, I'm going to fly. So at that time, he lived in Virginia. He worked for the federal government. He still works for the federal government, and I'm a patent litigator. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to show up at your home. So plan it out. So we met that December 7th. And then from then on, we started dating and we were inseparable. And in all honesty, it was like a tough time for work. Like I was getting ready for a trial in December of that, you know, in April of 2018. And it ended up settling March of 2018. And We ended up going to trial, but like even amidst this like crazy chaotic trial schedule, he would make time for me and I would make time for him. And he worked for the State Department. He didn't have a lot of time. Like he would drive an hour each way to get to the office. And our love story started in that way. And then ultimately we got engaged in July of 2018 and we got married in June of 2019. And lo and behold, 5 years later, I'm married and, you know, I would say living the easiest life, but it's just not true. Okay. Life is complicated constantly. And I'm sure, Bella, you know this, having been married, I don't know, many more years than me, that, you know, marriage is like complicated and you still have to continue to work on it. And it's a testament to get there. You know, the process of getting there is hard, but the process of staying there is even harder. And so, I think like for me, like that first step of doing the Smart Dating Academy was the catapult that got me to the process and got me to recognize that finding love is hard, but keeping love is harder. And then it's kind of all of that that ended up into my love story. And it's still going. I mean, we're going strong 5 years in, and there's been challenges throughout this time, but you know, I can always count on him. And I think that finding the right person, it's worth the shot. It's worth giving a consultant a shot. It's worth contacting Smart Dating Academy and learning how to date, even if you're like, consider yourself an old person. And whether you're old or young, just do it. That's my advice, because you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, I so appreciate that. And I think you're right, right? I mean, you have quite the background, right? You came in and it's like you had a divorce. You agreed to an arranged marriage. You sort of were like, okay, but here was my responsibility in it. Like I didn't enter it with the right mindset. And then you get your divorce, you get sick, and you were incredibly resilient so many times and still full of fire, full of adventure. Like, what the heck? I'm going to find the lid to my pot when so many people out there have those setbacks. You know, Steve Harvey used to say to me and to the audience, remember, a setback is a setup for your comeback.
Yeah. And I mean, life is like God winding roads. You know, whether it's in your career or your dating life, there are going to be challenges. There's going to be days that you're like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it's picking myself up constantly that gets me to the next step. You know, you just can't stop. You got to like keep going. You got to just move on. And I think that's something that's innate to me. So not everybody has that. You know, my husband's not like that. He's not, he doesn't pick himself up as easily. But what I find is, despite having that resilience naturally, I still didn't have the skills, you know. And I'm someone who was teaching people. Like I was a partner at a law firm, and I was teaching associates how to be better at their jobs. But I didn't realize that I needed the same level of assistance in learning how to date. And so, you know, whenever I tell people, if someone asks me, hey, who should I go to? I refer them to Bella Gandhi. And now, Bella, you're on like Good Morning America and doing, you know, crazy American things, you know, awesome things. And you have a podcast, and you really don't need me to refer you to anyone or make a referral, but I still think it's worth it. And it's because, like, if your goal is to find love, you got to work on yourself. You have to start with yourself, right? Like, you got to love yourself, but you also have to learn what you're doing bad and what you're not doing, what you're doing well. And that to me is what Smart Dating Academy has given me. And it all worked out. So there you go, right?
It all does work out. And you're right. And I love that you said this, right? We think happily ever after, right? It's not a fairy tale. Right? Marriage is work, and it's work, and it doesn't mean it's soul sucking work and you're, you know, being abused necessarily. What I'm saying, marriage is work. You have to, you know, the grass is green when you water it, right? And so you have to water the grass often, all the time, especially in the dark of winter, right? And so, and like you're saying, you tend to be the person that can elevate your husband more. He needs a hand, maybe more than you do. You're more resilient. And I'm sure that there are things that weren't identical. He doesn't match you in every standpoint from personality.
I mean, he's an introvert. I'm an extrovert. There's lots of differences. Like, you know, he prefers, like when we initially talked and he asked me what I did that weekend, that Labor Day weekend, I listed, I don't know, 35 things that I had on my list. And Par said, I watched football and made like nachos. Yeah. Like he's more of a simple person, but like on the flip side, he's really good at like financial, like predictions. He's really good at kind of budgeting. He has other skills that I just don't have. And to me, like we match because we complement each other and we have enough in common that we're not boring each other. We watch Big Bang Theory like every day and we, you know, we do Legos together sometimes. Like we have like nerdy kind of things that we do together. But there's also differences and, you know, years later, I decided to like run to be the president elect of an organization, the South Asian Bar Association of North America. Yeah. And Pars encouraged me to do it. Like he had no idea the amount of work it was going to take. And I told him it was going to take an enormous amount of work and he didn't quite get it, but he really encouraged me. And then he kind of begrudged me like the whole 2 years that I was involved, but he also helped me a lot. And that's where he offers kind of a different perspective. And like, I value who he is and he values who I am. But in order to make that happen, we've had to make compromises in life. Life, like marriage isn't easy. You are right. And especially when you have two older people that get together. I was like 41 when I got married and he was 39 because, you know, I slightly robbed the cradle. But we were already set in our ways. So he had his life, I had my life, and melding those lives took some commitment. And I think that's where he and I get together and we argue and we like resolve and we talk through things. I mean, I've had two floods in 1 year in this new house that we bought. Like, you know, we had a family death, like there's been issues in terms of like work issues and other things. And we are also trying to adopt. We've had a lot going on. In order to get through all of that, and in order to find the right partner, like finding the right partner and then getting the steps together to kind of walk in life together, I think that is a challenge, but it's worth the challenge. You know, I don't think I want to live life without my husband anymore. You know, like this, he's everything to me. And I was at an event, like I was in Toronto for like the South Asian Bar Association. Now I'm a past president and I can just hang out. And I was talking to the event planner who I've used in Acuity events. And they were like, do you realize how lucky you are that your husband loves you this much? And I was like, yes, that I know. And, 'cause not everybody gets that. They might get close to that, but I really have like this man who would devote everything to me. Like he just loves me. Like when I was this organization's president, he like was like, oh, I got to look good too. And it took him more time to prep for like the events than me. So that was kind of hilarious because was like, I got to make you look good. And I was like, I don't think anyone really cares what you look like, but it's fine. They don't even care what I look like, but it's okay.
Be my trophy husband. That's fine.
Yeah. And he stood by me. And he constantly stands by me and I stand by him too. And part of it is like, we have like, for all our differences, we also have a lot of commonalities. We both care about our families a lot. You know, he has a widowed mom. You know, like it was important to me that I connect with his mom, and she speaks a different language, even within the Indian context. We're from different parts of India originally. And my parents are fluent in English, and she speaks English, but just not as fluently as my parents, you know? And so to a certain extent, like I instantly connected with his family. He instantly connected with mine. And that was something super important. And so those kinds of commonalities kind of overcame our differences. So yes, I like to go out a lot, or I like to hang out with my girlfriends a lot. And he doesn't. He doesn't want to hang out with people all the time. And for him, like, sometimes just quiet time is more important. So that can be challenging when you're like an extrovert and you're like all the time, and you need to puncture every sentence with like something. But all those differences don't matter, at least for me, if the commonalities are enough to like connect all of us and keep our hearts alive. So that's what he does for me. And if you asked him, he'd say, I do the same for him. Or he better at least say that.
I love
After
that.
5 years of marriage.
And he's an elevator person for you. Do you remember when Lindsay and I took you through that exercise and figuring out who are the people in your life that make you really, really happy, right? We focus on those qualities. Then what are the red flags? Okay. These are people that are going to get chucked out if they're responding with red flags. Like you said, most people, there's no process. Can the attraction build with this person? And then it's navigating to, do we want the same thing out of this relationship? Are we aligned on the big things? And then all the small things become negotiable. You're an extrovert. He's an introvert. You like the city. He likes the suburbs. You like rock. He likes country. All those things become, okay, it doesn't matter. What do you want to do today? Tomorrow, I want to do this. And all of that, but you put the commitment to each other first and foremost, and you elevate each other.
I agree. Like, part of it is, you know, I still have some single friends. You know, I'm 46. So my friends are around 46, maybe 45, 44, 47, like, you know, in that area. And it's harder to find someone when you're older and you don't have the skills to do it. But I do think, like, one thing that's a difference is some of them wouldn't have picked Paris. They wouldn't have given him a chance. They wouldn't have, like, really swiped right. And part of it is like recognizing in yourself where you are deficient and trying to find someone that might shore up those deficiencies. And that's who Paris is for me. Like, he shores up some deficiencies I have in life. And, you know, it's been a hell of a ride. We post all the time, this roller coaster of life. There's only one person that I would want to be riding with, and it's him. And he does the same. You know, like, he, you know, I heard this song about who's your ride or die. Like, he's my ride or die. You know, like, he's the guy. And I am genuinely lucky to have found him. And I think you and Lindsay should get at least 20 to 30% credit in getting this to happen, because if I hadn't really learned the process, I wouldn't have been open to this man who came into my life. So that, to me, is like a lesson in like what you need to do to find love, is to be open and kind of recognize that there's skills that you need to build. And just like you go to school to, like, you know, become a doctor and become a dentist, and like, you need to get those skills. And so that, to me, is what Smart Dating Academy has given me. So I'm very, very grateful. And, you know, I hope, Bella, that you appreciate that you've helped so many people. And I hope you keep helping people, and, you know, because you have this beautiful love story, and I love talking about your husband and your beautiful children. And, you know, it's not always easy, but you always come out and talk about it. And to me, that's important, to keep telling people that there's hope. You know, I mean, not everybody can get married at 41 and stay married till 46. You know, I had one unsuccessful marriage. I wasn't going to do it again unless it was worth it. But part of it was finding the right person. I don't think I would have done it. I honestly don't without like this assistance. So I'm very grateful.
I'm so grateful for you and for you sharing this beautiful story and for my childhood friend, Benita. And we did sleepovers together. And I'm so glad that she was our Yenta and she matchmade us. And I'm so happy to hear that you wouldn't want to do the roller coaster of life with anybody except for Para. So that like brings a tear to my eye. I love love and love helping people. And thank you for so genuinely and generously sharing your stories because it's so inspiring. I think so many of us, so many listeners, regardless of what age you are, can relate to, God, I just don't know how to do this. I'm not having success at this. So thank you for sharing the little nuggets that helped you. And for any of you that are inspired or feel called to make a change, listen to what Tara said. Send an email to us like she did, right? Would you say do it?
Yeah, reach out. I mean, it's worth it. It's a, you know, part of it is you think you know what you're doing, but you may not. And it's worth even getting a refresher course. Like you could be dating like 30 years and you may not know that the signals that you're giving aren't the right signals or the signals that you're receiving aren't the right signals. So I think that to me, it's worth the chance, especially because everybody wants love. Like who doesn't want love? Those people are terrible.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you want to find love, you got to work on it. It doesn't come free.
It doesn't come for free. I love that. Well, thank you again for being here. Smart daters, share this podcast with somebody that needs some hope for the beautiful Tara's story. If you feel called to hear it again, you can watch the segment on our YouTube channel. So I'm, again, just so grateful for you and for being here. And if you need a consultation, people, send an email, go to smartdatingacademy.com, follow us on Instagram, do the things because all of the power exists inside of you to change your life. So do something positive for yourself to move yourself in that direction and catapult yourself into love. So thank you. And until next week, I bid you farewell. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.